You are listening to the How to Talk to Girls podcast with me, Trip Kramer. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the How to Talk to Girls podcast. I'm your host, Trip Kramer from tripadvicecoaching.com. Today's episode, it's an important one. I want to talk about something that came up on an interview that I did just the other hour, actually. It was today. I go on interviews. I'm on different podcasts, just like I have guests on this podcast. I'm guests on other podcasts. And I don't remember how we got to this point that I'll be making on today's episode, but during it, a big light bulb hit me and I go, wow, I've never really talked about this topic in this specific way. And I do believe that if you're able to overcome this issue that I'm about to divulge, that you'll be able to get more dates. You'll be able to get a calendar full of dates. You'll be able to meet and attract the kinds of women that you really want. Overall, you will have such a better time, an easier time just getting results. And not just with dating and meeting women, but really in your whole life. So what is it? I believe that men in general, have a very low bar for their life. Now, I don't think that's necessarily you, listener. And I'll tell you why I don't think it's 100% you. I think maybe it's part you, though. That's why I'm bringing it up in the podcast. I don't think it's 100% you because you are listening to this podcast. So that says something about you. A person listening to this podcast clearly wants more for themselves. As you know, this isn't really necessarily like an entertainment podcast. It's a how-to. It's teaching you. It's meant to get you results in your life. And you're obviously seeking that. So that's fantastic. That's good. However, I wonder if there's an area in your life where you just have a low bar. And men definitely not listening to this podcast and not seeking help, I believe, have low bars for their life. So what do I mean by a low bar, high bar? I just mean that someone who has a low bar isn't really seeking or trying to change to get to a better place. They're a person who's accepting where they're at and they think that it's like really good. You know, I don't think guys generally try enough. And listen, you know, I'm a guy's guy. I'm not trying to be a jerk here. I'm not trying to nag on men. I'm here to support and help men. But this is the point, is I need to sometimes break it down to reality and give a little tough love to then be able to build you up and help you. And I am guilty of this. I still see it today sometimes in my own life where there's moments where I realize, man, I should have a higher bar for that. For example, we hire people over here at Trip Advice. We're always hiring. There's always some role that we're hiring or rehiring, helping with all different aspects from signing people up to coaching to social media help. And there's moments where I hire someone and without even knowing it, like this is all happening on a subconscious level, I'm accepting mediocrity, which means that I have a low bar and I have to remember, no, I need to have a higher bar for people that we hire. And sometimes it's easy because you can get lazy. Oh, well, with hiring, oh, you found someone and you just want to kind of just move forward and keep moving forward. And then it bites you in the butt later. And I'm not just talking about hiring. That's like one small example. When it comes to dating, I mean, one of the biggest examples of the woman that you want to be with. So the women that you are approaching and talking to and going on dates with and you're filtering to see who's a good match, where's your bar? A lot of guys have a low bar. I had a low bar for many years. I had to go through multiple relationships to realize I had to raise my bar. And that's what I'm saying to you. We have to raise our bars here. So are you going on dates with women? And have you ever entertained in the past after going on a few dates that maybe you want to keep seeing her again, even though there's that yellow flag, even though there's that red flag, but still you entertain the idea because she's really cute. Or maybe when you guys hook up, it's awesome. Maybe it's some sort of ego where she's the most attractive woman who you've met, but she doesn't have a lot going for her. Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe your bar is low and you're just going for women who you think you can get, but they're not that attractive to you, not to other people, to you. That means your bar is low. Are you a guy who's just settling for women? Where else are you settling? And that's what it is. It's about settling. And when we settle, that means our bar is low. Where else is your bar low in your life? Where else can you be reaching higher? If we want to go to an extreme example where we have guys who are over 25, live at home, and I understand that in some cases, all around the world, even the United States, it can be very expensive and hard to live on your own or even get roommates. But what are you doing? Are you not doing anything? Are you not trying? Are you just sitting there comfortable? If you are, your bar is low. That's another example. Where else is your bar low? Think about this for a second. Right now, pause this if you really want. Where else are you going, man, I'm settling a little bit there. I'm not really trying my hardest. What about with health and working out? Are you doing the bare minimum to get by? Could you be doing more? Could you be going to the gym more? Could you be working on eating healthier foods? Could you be taking more supplements? What about your career? Are you just settling into your job? Just getting by? That's actually a big one because a lot of people might be working at a company. They've been there for several years. And they are comfy. They get a nice paycheck. The job is easy. Is that what you want? Or would it be nice to have a bigger paycheck that can help you do more and accomplish more goals in your life? What are those? What are the goals? What are the things you seek? And if you don't have goals, that's another example of a low bar. Why are you not achieving more? Now, here's the thing. I know that I don't like to preach points where I tell guys what to do. I only like to do that in response to a question. I never tell guys, this is how you need to live your life. Like, you need to be making all this money. You need to be looking exactly like this. You need to be getting married. You need to have two kids. You need to live here. You need to, or you shouldn't get married. You should just go out and hook up with a bunch of girls, blah, 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 blah. I don't really like to tell you what to do. Everyone has their own way of living life, and I'm going to let you do that. And whatever you desire, I want to help you get there. But my point here is I do want to tell you to desire more. And I don't mean more in the sense like you need to buy more stuff and you need to make more money so you can just buy a bunch of things and impress people more, more, more. I'm not talking about gluttony and consumerism. All I'm talking about is I know you have goals. I know you have a way that you like to live your life. I know that there are dreams inside of you. I know that people listening right now have that going for them on some level. So if that's the case, what is that and why aren't you going for that? So what does this have to do with today's topic of like, okay, get a calendar full of dates using this? Well, this is the mindset. And the mindset is a higher bar and always being outside of your comfort zone. And if you find that weeks God forbid, months have gone by and you have just been laying there comfortable in your life and all the different areas of your life, you should be checking yourself, because without the pain, there is no growth. Without the challenge, you cannot go further in your life. And if you start to raise your bar and do more things for yourself, you will become a more attractive individual and therefore attract more women and therefore have a calendar full of dates. But you might be settling, not just for women, but in your life. Where are you settling in your life? Where is it? Where in your life do you think, man, I should be doing a little bit more here? Man, I'm not really doing enough here. Or maybe you've become so comfortable with trying the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. We call that insanity. So what do we have to do? We have to change something. I tell guys, if you don't ever want to do a coaching program like the ones we have over here at TripAdvice, and you want to coach yourself, you're going to have to do experimentation. That's how you're going to get better. Self-experimentation, trying new things to see what works and what doesn't work. That's what I did. That's what I had to do a lot of. I did get coaching when I was younger and learning this stuff. But I also did a lot of self-coaching too. I put myself through different systems and processes to go out and approach women. And I tried new things and I tested and I journaled and I wrote down things and I took down data. I mean, I went like full into this, so I could get the results that I was looking for. And that can be used in any area. Where is it? Where is it? Where is it that you need to challenge yourself? Where is it that you need to change something? Where is your bar low? I think about this a lot. I do. I think about this idea of low bar and high bar. In my own life, I think about all the different areas of where I could be doing more, trying more. I don't want this to sound like masochistic, where you're just always beating yourself up like, no, I'm not doing it right. I need more, 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 more. I should always be in pain. I should always be challenging myself, and life should be a struggle. That's not what I mean. That's extreme. I'm not talking about going to that extreme. But I like to balance you out, because a lot of people at default are just not doing anything. They're just floating by. And when you float by and you do mediocre work, you get mediocre results. And when you start to push yourself and go more towards the extreme side, where you're doing more things and more challenges, you start to get better results. And then you know what happens? You build a ton of confidence and a ton of self-esteem, and you become a whole new person. This is how people actually transform themselves. This is the start to real transformation in your life and becoming the most attractive individual that you could be, which then, what does that do? That A, makes you a happier, more fulfilled person. You start to love life, appreciate life. And then you start to attract more of the kinds of women that you're looking for. And then here's the really cool part. You ready for this? A man who has high self-esteem. Well, let me actually rephrase this. You will attract the type of women you think that you think you deserve. So if you have high self-esteem, that means you're going to attract a better person. If you have low self-esteem, you don't think you deserve much, you're going to attract a worse person. And that's not just with attracting women, but everything in life. Your self-esteem is low. You're going to have a low bar and settle for shit. And if you have a high self-esteem, you're going to go for more. Because Nathaniel Brandon, the godfather of self-esteem, he wrote a book called The Six Pillars of Self-Esteem. I read that and I'll never forget the one thing from that book where he defines self-esteem as feeling that you deserve happiness. A person with high self-esteem believes they deserve happiness. So think about that logically. If you think that you deserve happiness, you have a high bar. Well, then you will have a high bar. That's my point. And it's kind of, it's circular. It all works with each other. If you raise your bar, you go for more, you accomplish more, you build more self-esteem, then you think that you deserve more. Think about, for example, this is an extreme example. I know you're not a celebrity, but imagine you were. Just imagine you were. Imagine you were a rock star or some sort of famous actor or famous artist of some sort. And you had just people loving you, tons of fans. They love your work. They come to see you. You're just this crazy popular person. What kind of woman are you going to go for? Probably the best of the best. Why? Because you're like, wow, look what I've accomplished. It's crazy. You're going to feel like you deserve more. Now, I know you're not literally a rock star, or maybe I do have rock stars listening to this podcast. I don't know. But you can also become a rock star in your life. You can become an extremely powerful, high-value individual if you're consistently working on yourself. We do this by raising the bar high in our lives, seeking more accomplishment, and then actually accomplishing the things that you want, and then you become the rock star in your life. It's really cool. It's really cool stuff. I don't think I've said it in this way on the podcast before. I know I've talked about a little bit of some of this, and we've gone motivational, and we've talked about topics regarding hitting all the major areas of your life, health, wealth, relationships, happiness, all that. But I never really used it or taught it in this way, talking about low bar, high bar. So think about this. Take that with you this week. See where you can think of ways to start to raise the bar. What do you think you deserve? And if I will say this, if you're listening to this and you have low self-esteem and it's just been tough for you and it's hard for you to raise the bar because you don't feel like you deserve more, then pretend. Pretend for a second. Pretend for a second that you do deserve more and that you want more and that you can accomplish more. Mindset is everything. Your limiting beliefs hold you back so much. I don't mean to get super Tony Robbins on you, but after all the personal development work I've done over the years, I'm always coming back to this today in my life, like all the time, how much our beliefs hold us back. Because your beliefs hold you back from taking action. If you believe that you suck or you're not good enough, you're just not going to do anything. You're not even going to try. You're not going to do anything. And then you're stuck. That's where people get really stuck. And let me say that I don't know anyone who's going to help you other than yourself. Obviously, I'm here. I'm helping you through this, but I can't do everything for you. No matter what, at the end of the day, you have to start doing things for yourself to make it work. So I can motivate you. I can help you. I can coach you. We have coaching programs. You have this podcast. We have resources for you. But even through all of that, it still ends up back to you. You got to make the change. You got to make it happen. And believe me when I say, even if you think you can't, even if you think you're in that deep rut, it is possible for you. Now, one thing that is very hard for men to do, it was nearly impossible for me to do for decades of my life, is approach women and talk to women. That's one of those things that guys have some of the hardest things getting over. And then when you do that, being able to not just approach them, but flirt with them, get their number, get them on a date. I know this can be really tough for a lot of guys. We have launched this year, and we've been working on it for a while. And as you can tell, I bring it up every podcast because I'm so excited about it. We've launched Approach Boot Camps, and we're releasing new dates at this point, like every other week. We just added a New York date. So we're putting that on there. It's not officially as of this second on the website, but it is going to be there very soon. Either way, we know that we have the dates over here, August 16th to 18th. So if you're in New York City, we've added that August 16th to the 18th. We already have a couple guys signed up for that. So there are spots available for New York and we're adding more dates. We still have, if you're in Europe and listening to this or in the UK, we have one in London. We're really excited about that one as well. So we have all different cities across the US and we're trying to expand even internationally. I'd like to get to Australia if we can. I'd like to get everywhere. So yeah, go to tripadvice.com/live training. If you go there, you'll be able to see all the dates and all the cities that we're doing this in. And if we're near a city near you, join us. Just remember too, by the way, this is back to the low bar, high bar conversation. Even if you see a city on there that is not your city, like for example, we have New York City. The two people signed up for New York right now are not in New York. They're 3 hours north. They're going to drive down to be there. So don't look at that and say, oh, I don't live near LA or Miami or Chicago or Austin or New York. Like I'm kind of far. I'm not there. Well, that's low bar thinking. Can you purchase a flight? Can you drive? Can you take a train? Do you and your friend want to sign up together and then you can split costs on coming in or whatever you can do? Can you take off a little bit of time? It does take sacrifice. So my point is don't think that you have to live in the city where we're doing the bootcamp. You can fly in and stay there. Most people are doing that. And if you go to tripadvice.com/live training and you frequently go there, you'll be able to see all the updates of how many spots are left in certain cities, as well as where we're doing them. For a full weekend, we take you out. We help you approach. We teach you how to flirt. We teach you anything with your body language. We teach you how to break the touch barrier and escalate properly without doing anything creepy. We are able to watch you and give you direct and immediate feedback on how you're approaching and what you're doing. And by the end of the weekend, you will have approached dozens of women and then be able to have the skill set to then go home and practice. And guys, it's okay to do multiple of these. So a lot of guys do multiple of these. And let me tell you right now, if you are tight on funds, we have so many and new payment plans available at 0% interest. So that means that you can pay this off over the course of multiple months and it will be 0% interest. And we also have low interest. So we just started working with Affirm, which maybe you've seen that, and Klarna. And by the way, this is for people in Canada, US, all over the world. We're able to do payment plans for people. It's amazing. So we just signed up for that to be able to help people get in. We also do payment plans and we have financing available for everything else we have here, like our 8-week virtual coaching program where you get to work dedicated one-on-one with a coach for 2 months and help you with everything online dating, meeting women in person, and getting you into the habit of approaching, hands-on work on your dating profile, telling you exactly what to do to get more matches and to be able to have a profile that gets more dates. And we guide you through, teach you how to do everything step by step. So tripadvicecoaching.com, tripadvice.com/live training. That is in the show notes. And I really hope to see you there. Now, let's get into some Q&A. You guys have been asking some amazing questions lately. I kid you not, I look forward to this every single week when I do the podcast. I get really excited to answer your questions. Let's do that right now. Hey, my name is Tynan. Trip, I love the podcast and all the motivation, advice, and the challenges you give us to us guys. I've been working on losing weight, building confidence, and overall working on myself to be a better me and appreciate all the help you give. I took some advice from a previous podcast and went to a karaoke bar to help build confidence and get out of the house more. My question for you, what is your opinion slash advice on flirting with someone like a bartender or waitress? I feel like we have interesting conversations and I've been doing some push-pull and challenging her, but find it difficult to break the touch barrier. Thanks again for everything, Tynan. Okay, I'm going to admit, I feel like I answered this question before, but we're just going to answer it again. Maybe I answered this question similarly when someone asked about bartenders, waitresses, things like that. So flirting with bartenders and waitresses, you don't need to break the touch barrier. In fact, I've talked about this before on the podcast. You don't need to break the touch barrier ever, technically. If you can, great. If it works, fantastic. But you don't have to. In fact, you might not want to. It might be too much. It might be creepy. You might come off in the wrong way. If anything, I know this is going to sound cheesy, and I know this might sound lame to some people. And you know what? The risk is you may never listen to this podcast ever again. But I tell you, as cheesy as it sounds, it works. With someone like a bartender or waitress, if you're going to break touch barrier, you don't want to do anything too sensual or sexual. Like a high five might be the best way to break the touch barrier. Okay. Not like you're slapping her hand really hard like she's a buddy, but just like a soft high five. Again, you don't have to do that. But to answer your question, that's the way I would do it as to make this go smoother. But when we're talking about flirting with bartenders and waitresses, the best thing you could do, honestly, is just maneuver conversation from whatever you're ordering and the bar to something more on a personal level. So if you can get conversation away from what you're ordering, and you guys suddenly start talking about where you guys are from, and you ask her where she's from, and you start talking about the area. You start talking, oh, what do you do for fun when you're not bartending? What do you like to do for fun when you're not waitressing or serving? And all of a sudden you guys start talking about other things. Now you start to create a relationship that's not customer based. And instead it's two humans getting to know each other. You've now, in fact, I like to say you're breaking past the worker barrier. That's more important to me than breaking past the touch barrier. I want to work past the worker barrier. So then you have an opportunity where it makes sense and is smooth to then ask her for a number and ask her out. So that's going to be the most important time. And hope that helps for all you guys out there who are looking to flirt with bartenders and waitresses. I know that there's a lot of opportunities. This one is from Vedran. Great names today. Tynan, never heard of that name. Vedran, if I'm saying that correctly. Hello, Trip. My question may be coming from a different place. I'm a father in my early 40s, and I've asked myself, what are some skills I wish my dad taught me? And one of them was how to talk to the opposite sex confidently. Is there a way I can practice the art of flirtation without crossing the line, as I am in a happy relationship, as to offer my kids confident guidance in this area? Okay, I kind of have to read this again. Is there a way I can practice the art of flirtation without crossing the line, as I am in a happy relationship, as to... Oh, I see. So it sounds like... Yeah, it sounds like you want to... Do you want to flirt? Like you're demonstrating? Hopefully you don't mean flirting with other women. I mean, if you're in a happy relationship and you want to offer kids guidance, flirt with your wife. I'm going to read this again so I'm not going crazy. Is there a way I can practice the art of flirtation without crossing the line, as I am in a happy relationship, as to offer my kids confident guidance in this area? Yeah, flirt with your wife. It's the same thing, bro. Flirting with your wife, your girlfriend, in front of your kids, obviously not like overt sexual flirting because they're children, but you know that. But most flirting I teach and what you should be doing anyways isn't even overtly sexual. It's really light. It's fun. It's teasing. It's showing them that you're comfortable with breaking the touch barrier. And if anything, another way to do that is, well, this isn't really for under 18. It's for over 18. I would say over 18, you should get them my book called Magnetic. That can help too. But yeah, flirting with the mom, with their mom, it's going to be the best thing. And just know that when it comes to flirtation, I don't know. I mean, it's not really something that I think that is going to resonate real well with kids who are younger. I'd say this is maybe something that you want to talk to them about when they're 16, 17, 18 years old. And then you got to remember like where this is all coming from. You got to make sure that you're teaching them this, not so they become like players and you get the wrong idea in their head. It's got to be just letting them know that if they're ever interested in a woman or they're interested. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you have boys, which you didn't say, but you know, if they're interested in a woman, that they have to know how to flirt. But you can also remember that when it comes to like flirting when you're young, it just also means just talking to a girl. Like that's a lot that flirting is in general. You don't even have to go, you don't have to go over specific techniques and tricks and push-pull methods. The best thing you can do, as you can tell, I'm working this out in real time. The best thing you can do is to really teach them to be comfortable and help them with just talking to the girls that they like. If they like a girl, encourage them. Hey, talk to her. Talk to her. Go over there. See what happens. Because remember, guys, I teach you that too, is when you're going and doing an approach, the flirtation is already there by default because you're going over to approach. So that's what I would do. That's what I wish, you know, my dad did, is told me, hey, you know, there's any girl that you like, you're interested in, or there's any person you want to make a friend with, you're never going to be able to get anywhere if you don't go over and start the conversation. So that's it, veteran. Teach them the art of starting the conversation. That is going to be the most powerful thing you could do. And then as they get older, over 18, you know, you can get in my book or you can teach them more some flirting techniques and whatnot. It will start to make sense. But step one, start having those conversations with the opposite sex. There you go. Okay. Hope that helps. A couple more short ones here. Okay. This is anonymous. Hey, thanks for all the podcasts you put out. Great content. Wanted to write in a question. I know you advocate generally going for a kiss on the first date, but how do you get to that stage if they're generally arms crossed and don't seem too receptive or pull away when you reach for their hand? Well, if you're going to reach for their hand and they pull away, then they're not going to be receptive to a kiss. So they're not going to be ready for a kiss. If they don't take in your touch, they don't accept the breaking of the touch barrier that you're doing, a kiss ain't going to happen. So best thing you could do is hug goodbye, call it a day, and ask them out again, and then you can try again. But if you haven't tried any of that, because like I said, you don't necessarily need to break the touch barrier, even on dates, to go for the kiss, you can just go for the kiss. But if their arms are crossed, or they just, their body language isn't receptive, that doesn't mean that they're not interested. If they pull away, that means they're not interested. But if they're not looking receptive, you could still say, you know, hey, come here. And then you can put your arm on her and then kind of lightly pull her in as if you're putting your hand on her back, lightly pulling her in and then going for the kiss. And then you can see what happens. So I would say, anonymous, if they're not accepting any of your physical advances pre-touch, I would back off. And if you haven't tried anything yet, but their body language is kind of off, I'd still go for the kiss. And do it that way. Just kind of go up to them. I want you to reduce the distance between you and her. It's funny. That's like what he says in Hitch. People compare me to Hitch all the time, but that is true. It's the best advice in that movie. Is you need, in order to go for the kiss, you need to have that distance shortened between you and her. And that's going to be up to you. She's not going to do it. So do that. Put your arm around her and go for it. And then you see what happens. Okay, Dave from Australia. Dave from Australia. Why does that sound familiar? I feel like you've asked a question. Hey, Trip, Dave from Australia, longtime listener. Just a quick question. Does it mean anything when a female says to you, quote, you look so familiar to me. Have I seen you before? Where are you from? If I said that to a female, I'd be interested. Am I looking into it too much? Yeah, you are. Guys, don't look into any of this stuff too much. I was just on a podcast, like I said, today. And he's like a coach himself. I don't know if he's like a full-on dating coach. He does a little bit of dating coaching, seems to be doing a little bit of everything. And we were talking about this idea of how do you know if a woman is interested? And so I asked him, I said, let me ask you, how do you know if a woman is interested in you? And then he starts spitting off all this stuff. You know, oh, well, her body language, she's going to be more receptive. She's going to look at you more. She's going to ask you questions, blah, 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 blah. And I said, listen, those are all correct. Nothing wrong with what you just said. However, I can simplify this 10x for you right now. You don't want to know how a woman is interested? It's very simple. She just agrees to a date. So why am I saying that here with you in this question, Dave? Because I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. Neither do you, and no one knows. If a woman says, you look so familiar, have I seen you before? Where are you from? If she says that, I mean, maybe she's interested. Want to know a way to find out? I got one for you. You ready? Ask her out. That's it. Boom. All right. I hope that helps. That's a good question. This one's from Nathan. Hey, Trip, thanks for all you do, the Hooks program, and for your advice that I believe is the reason I'm becoming increasingly comfortable with approaching and attracting quality women. That said, I'm still trying to get over pedestalizing the most beautiful women, and it feels so much easier pursuing all the sexual escalation when it's someone that's not as stunningly attractive. Or is it just more overtly sexual? I've been on a few dates with a gorgeous girl that I'm slowly escalating with, but I can already feel that I think I'll come off as a deviant if I try to completely let loose in the bedroom and do all the dirty talk and ask or go for exactly what I want. She has a Catholic upbringing that, even though she doesn't seem to be fully practicing Catholic, seems to have made her a bit more conservative, and I don't want to come off as too much. Yet I do want a powerful sexual experience for both of us. Wondering what tips you might have in this regard. Thanks, Nathan. Okay, we're kind of asking two questions in one, because you have one issue where you're pedestalizing, but then it seems to be mutually exclusive, this other situation where she's Catholic and you're trying not to, you know, go over any boundaries or step on any toes, anything like that. So let's just attack both. Okay. The reason why you pedestalize women, the beautiful ones, and it's harder to physically escalate with them and ask them out and all those things is because you are more afraid of the rejection. Okay, so you're more afraid of the rejection. I mean, the reason why you're pedestalizing her is because she's pretty and you think that she's amazing. But the reason why you're not escalating is because you're just even more afraid of the rejection. Like you're like, oh, well, if I go for a girl who's not that attractive and I escalate and whatever, like who cares? Who cares if I escalate and she doesn't like it? I'm not going to care. But think about that with that, what I'm saying there. When you say I'm not going to care about what? Well, care about the rejection. Because you're like, oh, so what? But because you have a woman there that's valuable, you go, oh, I don't want to get rejected. That's going to suck. It's going to hurt more. It's a harder fall for you. Best advice, man, is that you just got to get over it. I know that's so funny. Like, what kind of advice is that? But that's just what it is. Like, you just have to get over it. Like, there's tons of beautiful women. And you have to realize that just because they're pretty, it does not make them special. I've done full episodes on this. It does not make them special because they're attractive. There's plenty of attractive women out there. There's way more to a woman than her looks. You'll soon realize that. It took me a few women to realize that. When I was dating a few different women, you know, you learn who they really are and you realize, wow, those looks don't matter. And looks fade, by the way, over time. So what makes them more special than just that? But even so, I know that you can still pedestalize someone if they're like, wow, but this girl's beautiful and she's amazing. Now this is going to be even a harder fall. Get over it. Because guess what the other option is? You don't do anything. And then you get put in the friend zone. That is not what you want. You want to try and fail, not sit back and do nothing. Get over it. There's plenty of women out there. Don't worry. Now, next, totally different situation. She's Catholic. You said, even though she doesn't seem to be fully practicing Catholic, you're just making a lot of assumptions here. you got to remember, here's the problem, man. You're definitely nice guy mentality. I can read it real well here, Nathan. Think about this for a second. You're just acting as if trying to do what this person wants. You're trying really hard. Okay, this girl's really pretty. She's Catholic. She's this, whatever. I really like her. So then you're a nice guy mentality. You go, what can I do to make sure I don't lose this one? I want to do these things that I want to do, but I also don't want to lose her. What can I do? That's not how we date. You, Nathan, have to be you and do what you want to do. If you want a woman where you can let loose in the bedroom and have that, quote, powerful sexual experience, then you need to go for it. And if she's not interested in that, she'll tell you. But you can't guess. So guys, this is really important. This is all related to today's episode too, talking about self-esteem and low bar, high bar. Like, what's your bar? Your bar should be, okay, this is the kind of woman I want. Pretty and likes to do these things in the bedroom, and this is the stuff. Great. So what do? We do the things that we want. We know what we want in a relationship. The girl is going to comply or she's not going to be interested, and you can't lose. So you're very worried about what's going to happen. And I know I can read, I can know you're worried. You said, quote, I don't want to come off as too much. Why are you apologizing? What do you, but too much for who? For her? That's her problem, not your problem. I'm not saying, okay, let me be clear here. I'm not saying you force yourself on a woman and no, we're doing what I want to do. I'm just saying you got to go at what the pace at what you want. And then you see if she's going to match that. For example, if you're on a, if you're dating a woman and you're looking to have a sexual relationship with a woman, but she won't even barely kiss you and it's been date 7 or 8, you don't have to stick around. And if you do, your bar is low. And your self-esteem is low too, because you feel like you don't deserve happiness. Because true happiness for you is going to be, well, you tell me, fill in the blank. For you, Nathan, I think we understand what you want. So she's either on board or she's not. And if she's not, there's other women out there. And I think that's the big thing. You're in scarce mentality. So if everything is working in the Hooked program and the podcast, then you should be talking to way more women so you can be in abundance mentality. Abundance mentality. All right, we'll do another one. By the way, you can always write in your question too. Write in to trip@tripadvice.com, put in the subject line podcast question, and I'll answer your question here on the podcast. Okay, this one's from Ari, or maybe Ari. We don't know. I had a coaching client once named Ari, spelled the same way. Okay, he says, hey, Trip. Firstly, thank you all for all the wonderful insights you give on this podcast every week. I totally love them. I want to practice approaching girls, but just can't get myself motivated to do it because I don't know how to have fun approaching or socially due to having a rough past. I struggle with being curious and feel no purpose in getting to know people, even more so with girls I am not attracted to. The only way I tried approaching so far is by faking my purpose by asking for directions. I feel fearful approaching attractive girls, and I want to get over this in 3 months. I know you recommend talking to everyone and anyone, but striking up a conversation with everyone I see will be weird, forced, and draining. My questions are, one, do you have a guide to choose who to strike up conversation with for practice? Two, how can I have more fun and purposeful in talking to random girls? My idea is to approach X number of girls in a week to track and measure my progress instead of wasting time asking pointless questions. Thank you, Trip. Ari. First of all, Ari, tripadvice.com/live training. You should join a bootcamp. This is why we have them. I know that you wrote this at a time where I don't think we launched them yet. So if you're listening, and I hope you are, and you have been, that's right up your alley. This is literally exactly for you. So I really recommend it. Of course, I'm still going to answer your question. Okay, lot to uncover here per usual. So here's the thing. You're kind of giving yourself the answer here in what you're saying. Yeah, you're not having fun. So that's the bottom line. You're faking it. You're asking for directions. It seems bad. You're not talking to women you're attracted to, but you're fearful. Okay, I get it. So here's the thing. There is a little bit of a process that one needs to go through. And then at some point, you just got to rip off the Band-Aid. Okay, what I mean is, I know your situation, all right? I know what's going on. You are not loving all the forced, stupid little strike-up conversations, ask for directions, talking to girls you're not attracted to, the advice I give, you know, newbies when it gets really hard to strike up a conversation with a pretty girl. You don't like that. It's forced. It's not fun. Okay. However, you still want to do this. You want to talk to girls that you're more attracted to. Clearly, I think that's going to be the key for you. You kind of said this in a way. It's going to be more fun for you when you're talking to women that you're attracted to. But the problem with you is you're fearful of doing it. So where do we go from here? You're kind of like stuck because you don't like the small talk chit chat. It sounds like you're pretty good at it. If you're not, then you should be in the back of your mind thinking, well, that's the goal. And the fun part is just being able to hit the goal. Sometimes there's not the easiest answer in the world. What I mean here is, Ari, for you specifically, you graduated to the point where it's time for you to start talking to attractive women. So you said your questions were, do you have a guide to choose who to strike up a conversation with for practice? Specifically to you, it's now attractive women. Sounds like you've done all the rest of it. I don't know. I think you have. If you haven't, maybe you haven't. Well, try it. Yeah. Okay. So I need to back up a little bit. It's part of me says, seems like you have done it before and you're like ready. Maybe you haven't. So if that's the case, why are you just assuming? Guys, everybody here, listen to me. What's that saying? When you assume, you make what? An ass out of you and me. Ha ha. No assuming. Just do it. And then come back and go, Trip, it was weird. It was forced. And I was drained. Just like you said. Maybe it won't. Maybe you'll actually walk away from it really energized and it'll be really awesome. And you feel like you will feel like it's more fun than you imagined. Or not. We don't know. You haven't done it yet. So stop assuming. Okay. Maybe you're just so scared that you're making excuses and your excuses are, no, it's going to be weird and forced and draining. It's not going to be fun. Asking for directions. Well, I guess you did say here, the only way I tried approaching so far, guys, I'm sorry. There's a lot of data here. So yes, you did say, the only way I tried approaching so far is by faking my purpose by asking for directions. So you're not really doing a lot. So you have a couple of routes you can go. Keep doing this for a little bit just to get over the hump. Or we can just fast forward you to level 5, right? Instead of playing, you know, Mario on level 1, we can just bump you up to level 5 and rip the Band-Aid off and just start conversations with women that you're attracted to. That's going to be fun for you. And it's going to be challenging. And the challenge is going to make it more fun. She's pretty, so you'll enjoy the conversation more. It's challenging, so you'll enjoy it because you're accomplishing something, building self-esteem. So you said in your second question, how can I have fun and purpose in talking to random girls? Talk to the ones you're attracted to. If for some reason, and I don't want to assume either because there's a million ways that this could potentially go, but if that is tough for you in the sense where you're successfully approaching women that you're attracted to, but even then it doesn't seem fun, that I don't really have an answer for you. That's a lot deeper than I'm capable of answering at this current moment. But for most guys, I know this because I've been there and I've coached guys through this, is that once they start talking to attractive women, it starts to become more fun and you start to get better at it. Another way to do this to make this fun, Ari, and it looks like you're starting to do it, which is cool. You said, my idea is maybe to approach X number of girls in a week to track and measure progress instead of wasting time asking pointless questions. Great. Do that. Yeah, that will be more fun. That's what I did. I tracked it all. How many women did I talk to today? How many numbers did I go for? How many numbers did I get? How many dates did I have out of those numbers? What are some little notes from each approach that I can learn? Okay, I can do a little bit better here. I can flirt a little bit better here. I can do better eye contact here. Whatever it may be, write it all down. That can be fun for some people. It was fun for me, at least. That could be fun for you as well. Just the process of it and the challenge and the kind of game of it all, of getting better. And just know, guys out there who are listening, you're not wasting time asking pointless questions. The point of you going up to women, if you have bad approach anxiety, the point of going up to women and maybe asking a question or striking up conversation, asking directions, the point is to have enough reference experience so your body and brain understand what it is like to go over and approach a woman. When your body and brain start to finally understand what's going on, then it becomes less scary. If you never approached a woman in your entire life, and I told you to go up to a beautiful woman, that you might not do it because it's that much of a leap for you who's never even talked to a woman in a grocery store before, you know? So that's why you start off with some of those small things. Does that help, Ari? I hope it does. I think it will. So that's what I want you to do. Start talking to attractive women. Pull off the Band-Aid, jump to it, make it happen. And most importantly, guys, don't be scared of what happens. The purpose in doing this is not to, I'll say this again, the success and what you see as successful in this journey is the journey itself, is the approach itself. And then we see what happens because we can't control the outcome. We can only control what we do. And what we can do is just go and approach, talk, try to have a good time. Sound good? Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for writing in. I appreciate it. Ari, Nathan, Anonymous, Vedran, Tynan, you all rock. Email me if you have a question. Trip@tripadvice.com. If you need more help, links are in the show notes. We can help you. It's good to be talking to you today. And I can't wait to talk to you on the next episode.